You ran for Congress in Central Illinois. You had a position with the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity in state government. You ran for lieutenant governor, and if not for Pat Quinn, you might have won that race. After that, you've worked for the Obama administration and for the World Bank. Some could argue that today, even a jazz musician, though, is a step up from politics. How did this come about?
Well, it didn't come out right away. I've been around music a long time. In fact, when I started at ISU in 1979, I was a trumpet major and switched to voice and always stayed around music, married a professional musician, so it is a long love.
Politics and music, do they have things in common?
I certainly would think that the performance is part of that, thinking about your audience. And I think that's in a good way, too. I mean, I think some folks use it to manipulate, but the way that you think about your audience empathetically and making sure that you're being honest about what you're communicating, whatever that emotion is, yeah, I think there's some great connections. I think the people who do politics the best are ones that understand that connection.
Are both an improvisational art?
Yes. I heard stories from people who work for statewide elected officials in Illinois, and they said that they would sort of gauge what's happening in the crowd. So they would give a line, see how they reacted to it, and give them more if they liked it, or give them less or move on to a new topic. And I've watched that in action, and it's a call and response. It's very powerful, but as long as it's obviously done with respect for the audience and full honesty.
The album is titled Mélange, a mixture or a medley, appropriate enough for something that incorporates classical instruments, blues, folk, a little pop, and puts it into jazz stylings. How did you decide what you wanted to do with this album?
I think this was a mix of influences in our lives. So Karin is a classical musician, has been playing for about 30, 35 years.
Your wife?
That's right. She's also an ISU grad. We met at Music Theory at 8 in the morning in August of 1979. We took her interests. She was playing this Bach Partita No. 2 movement called Giga, and so I started playing some jazz chords on the guitar to that, and that was one of the pieces that ended up on the album. Sort of fell upon us, all the 12 songs, but thematically they're really jazz and they have this classical underpinning.
Music has always borrowed from many traditions to
to
make new things, but that may even be accelerating in today's kind of mashup culture. Where's the audience for combining the classical and even a little pop that you do in there as well as the jazz?
It's been happening a long time. You hear about and read about the great jazz masters borrowing from Debussy and Ravel, and you can hear it. You can hear the same thing with Debussy and his music. It's evocative of things that were happening in his era in the jazz world, very early jazz world. So it's already happening, and of course now people have access to everything. We think the cross influences are significant. We picked something that was more rhythmic, has voice, that isn't something that you hear all the time in instrumental jazz with new lyrics. We also make sure that it's rhythmically accessible. It's music that people will be familiar with, done in a way that's got a twist.
I was standing by my window on a dark and dusty day when I saw that carriage coming for to carry my poor lover away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky.
Curiosity, as the title implies, it's a memorial, a goodbye, but a bluesy elegy with elements of Will the Circle Be Unbroken and a spiritual kind of twist there. How do you pay honor to the separate traditions in that without shorting any of them?
Well, they all had to give a little bit. I was inspired by the piece Empty Chair by the great bassist who worked with Miles Davis, Dave Holland. It's a strange title, so I looked it up, and what it was about was the empty chair where his wife used to sit when he practiced the bass. And I thought, wow, that's a powerful feeling. And it's this very slow-moving and mournful kind of blues, but it's got all these great jazz substitutions. It's just gorgeous. And I had been listening to the Bach Mass in B minor, and the Kyrie, that first piece, is just blew me away. Every time I hear it, it still gives me chills. And it's also something that's part of the Requiem Mass. And of course, a song that I've been singing for a very long time, Will the Circle Be Unbroken, is about loss, and about a person who is coming, waiting for the carriage to take away their loved one. So I thought I combined the three of them. They all had to give a little bit in melody and harmony, but the curiosity part is because I was curious about these Bach pieces. It was a great thing. I didn't know it was going to work until we were done with it, though.
You did folk, and you later had a very bluesy take on vocals. How do you get from those two to the smoother jazz delivery that you have on several cuts in this album?
Well, I learned a lot from other great singers, Sarah Vaughan, Kurt Elling, who's a master, and tried to emulate the good technique that I learned at ISU from Peter Schutz, my voice teacher. And I like singing lots of different styles. I look at it as when you do figure skating, there's a preliminary round where you're supposed to demonstrate that you have some mastery of some of the moves. And I really love all those things. I don't do all of them well, but I try. But the jazz part is really kind of where my love is, where I love the most, because I think jazz for me is mostly about rich harmony. If you have that, then a voice doesn't have to do much to sound really wonderfully ornamented.
Chante le Brahms.
Yeah.
There's blues, there's New Orleans jazz, and
yeah.
Okay, so where is the Brahms there?
It's all from the second movement, the Adagio. So at the very beginning, the first four or five bars, that's from the middle of the middle movement. And the ending of that, the last 20, 30 bars, is the cadenza from the ending of the Adagio movement. So it's been tampered with a little bit, but the ending is closer to the truth than the beginning.
Once I heard a lover, when work was over, strum a Creole croon to his lovey-dovey underneath the Dixie moon. I heard to say chante le bras, that means in Creole, sing 'em low. Chante le bras, she like her blues played sweetly and slow. Yeah,
One Perfect Day, I take it, is not from the single released in 1982 by the Aussie band Little Heroes. Tell us about this one.
No, this is, we were doing a rehearsal last summer, and we were going through this, the other piece I mentioned, Giga, which is a Bach Partita. Which is a solo piece that we built sort of a jazz waltz around. It's more of a Latin jazz waltz. And the cello player said, hey, you know, there are a whole bunch of cello suites. You know, you could do one of those. And he was sort of joking. But unfortunately for him, I went through all the cello suites. I listened to them for a couple of weeks over and over again, and I found one that was just really rich and harmonic, this prelude in the suite, and the prelude in the cello suite in E-flat. So I wrote a piece around it, sort of a rock piece, and wrote a counter melody, and I presented it to the cello player, and he said, "Wow, that's you just picked the hardest of any of the movements of any of the cello suites."
Gee, thanks.
Yeah. So it was a lot of work to get everybody together for this album. This one was a struggle because it was such a challenging piece. But I really like the result. And it's also an important message for me. This is a message of rebirth and growth and trying to work through difficult things. Talk a little about Moon Dreams. If anybody's ever heard The Birth of the Cool, when my kids were little and I had a difficult day, I would come home and I would turn on Moon Dreams, this beautiful piece on this album from like 1949. And Miles Davis and Gil Evans were trying to come up with something new. Now the size of these jazz orchestras was getting smaller, and they wanted to try something that was really about the sound and not so much about the cacophony of the rhythm of the voices. They wanted something, just enough voices, so they had a nonet, or no net, nine voices. We've mixed that, and we've changed the ending so it moves into Clair de Lune, which is French for moonlight, and we changed the words to moon dreams to reflect the sentiments in Paul Verlaine's poem Clair de Lune, which is the poem that inspired Debussy to write Clair de Lune, the music. So it's a nice piece. It's, I think, one of our favorite pieces on the album.
Black is the color of my true love's hair. Her lips are large.
Black is the color of my true love's hair is a ballad standard, a folk ballad standard. You stick some reels into it as well, and so the pace is a lot higher than usual. And there are elements of Jean-Luc Ponty as well. What were you trying for?
I visited my brother in New Orleans, and he presented me with Martin guitars, the nicest guitar I've ever owned. He had like a little room off his shop where I was staying, and he abandoned me for about 12 hours. And I played this song over and over again, and I ended up with this rhythm. And then I dreamed up this fiddle part, and Karin looked at that, my wife Karin, and said, you know, good luck, you know, we're going to have to slow the tempo down. But ultimately we got it up to the tempo that we both wanted. And you know, we went to the studio, and the engineer Jim Robeson, we played it with the bass player and myself and the drummer, and he looked at me and he goes, is that what you wanted to do? And I said, I didn't know what to expect. He said, it's great, he really liked it. And so as we were doing the mixing, people would pour in his studio and they'd go, what's that, you know, because it's just so different. It's acoustic, it's supposed to sound acoustic, but it has this sort of hip-hop kind of feel. So I really liked that one too, and the vocals were fun.
For satisfied I ne'er can be, I'll write her a letter with these few lines.
What are your hopes for this album?
You know what? The hope was to try to achieve something close to what we intended sonically. But really, the goal was to make something beautiful. And I hope we did that. I hope some people like it. Because it was a great growing experience for us to work together, Karin and myself, on a project to get some fine musicians involved. And hopefully people feel that they've been moved by the music, and that would make us very happy.
Mike Kelleher is now with the World Bank. He is an ISU graduate, musician of some note, and part of the driving force behind this new offering titled Melange. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Da 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 da